let's just crack the whip a little bit louder against the soul. You know, it's always saddening to me when I hear stories of people that have got mental illness and they're being told that it's because they've got sin in their life and they need to repent and they need to do this, that. And it just adds to the weight of the struggle, doesn't it? You know, and guilt and shame locks them into despair. So this week, I actually wrote a blog post called "Is My Mental Illness Because of Sin in My Life?" And a little story to begin with, but in my late teens, I developed a heart condition, and my heart would suddenly begin racing up to like 140 beats per minute. I really remember those days when, like, I'd be out working on a farm, and then suddenly this my heart would just go crazy. And I would lose, you know, I feel very faint and I feel sick. And it was just terrifying, quite a lot of anxiety. And I prayed and prayed, and I thought, oh man, what's, you know, there must be some sin in my life that I've got. You know, I was looking at those pretty girls in the youth group. You know how it is, teenage boys. But but it didn't go away. In fact, it got worse. And the more I prayed, it just didn't seem to shift. And I actually went and saw a doctor, and he gave me some medication. That helped a bit, but over time it just didn't seem to go away. Then I went to see a specialist heart doctor, and he checked me out, and he said, I've got, and I'll try and say this right, paroxysmal supraventricular tachycardia, which is basically a faulty wiring in my heart, and it was sort of short-circuiting. That's the best way that I can put it. And I needed some really focused medical attention. And so they actually, I went and got some heart surgery, but they put like little wires up into my heart, and I could watch them doing it. It's quite freaky. And they put the wires up into my heart, and they found the wrong sort of wiring in my heart and shot a radio frequency at it, and it stopped it from doing this racing heartbeat thing. And I've never ever had a problem with my heart since. You know, also, you know, as a child I had severe asthma and eczema, you know, and I remember our pastor and the elders of the church came and prayed for me, but no miracle happened. But not then. I have actually, I don't have those conditions so much now anymore, and I wonder whether God has healed me over time, which is great. But I've really wrestled with this problem of wellness for many years. And so I want to share with you some conclusions. You know, I'm still learning, still growing, still gathering wisdom, aren't we? You may have heard that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. So I've got a bit of knowledge, and I think it's turned into some wisdom. So I want to share it with you. Number one is that we don't know what we don't know. You know, this is a big learning. And when we don't know, now you can listen to this, when we don't know what we don't know, we draw our conclusions from the knowledge, the limited knowledge that we do know. And the problem comes when our limited knowledge is flawed and faulty. All right? You know, and I've got a little diagram in the blog post which really helps you understand it. But I had limited knowledge around my heart condition. That I, you know, I was sort of basing it on some sort of spiritual thing, that I was getting it wrong. And a lot of that was, you know, fueled by the type of church and the type of teaching that was going on in those times. But when you don't know what you don't know, it really limits you. So you've got to be open to learning new stuff. Second thing, we can need to talk about actually what sin is. And I when we think of sin, we think of the big stuff, don't we? You know, the obvious, you know, pride, swearing, you know, cheating, adultery, lust, you know, drinking, all that sort of bad stuff. But sin is way bigger and smaller than that. It's the missing of the mark of perfection with God. It's just not measuring up. And Paul actually puts it this way. Yes, all have sin, that includes you. All fall short of God's glorious ideal. God's glorious ideal. Now, Are you God's glorious ideal in everything you do, every breath? No, you're not. I'm not. So we've all sinned. And I also like what Simone Beale says. Sin is not being far from God. It's turning our gaze in the wrong direction. So like if you're looking towards God and you're full of the attention, just a slight movement away, you know, that's what sin is like. Just completely not in God's perfect ideal moment. So that puts a very fine edge on it. And it's not just the big shifts in our attention, it's the micro flickering of our eyes away from God's goodness. And we all do that. But thank God for grace. And so, you know, is there sin in your life? Yes, there is. Okay, just you got to accept that. That's just part of it. The third thing is an immature spirituality. You know, our spirituality, our knowledge, our wisdom, they're all on a growth projection towards maturity. In his little thesis on love, you know, chapter 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes these words. It's like this: when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does, just like when I was a teenager. That's how I thought of things. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I've put away those childish things. You know, and that's 1 Corinthians 13, 11. It's good to acknowledge we don't know everything. Can you do that? Yeah, don't know everything. And that there is more to learn. So, you know, don't become hard and fixed to black and white about what you think you know. God will most likely surprise you. The fourth thing is that we've got weakened bodies. Once we were in perfect union with God, no sin, no shifting of gaze, the perfect healthy and whole bodies, no cancers, warts, depression, anxiety, mental illness, tears or fears. It was Eden, Garden of Eden. But when Adam and Eve broke out of this perfect dance, our physical bodies cracked. We are now physically prone to unwellness. The basic building blocks of our genes carry on from generation to generation, vulnerabilities to illness, including mental illness. Is that your fault? No, but it's something you have to come to terms with. Paul calls us unadorned clay pots. There you go. I'm just telling you now, you are an unadorned clay pot. You're just a clay pot. All right? Tell that to some supermodel selfie stars, and you would give them perfect theology. In fact, I've got a little picture on the blog post of these couple of young, you know, young models saying, "You're a clay pot, an unadorned clay pot." Just imagine that, you know, your superstar model saying, "I'm just a clay pot." The fifth thing. Add to this is that we live in a broken world. You know, add to the soup, we also live in a broken world far, far away from the serenity and perfection of Garden of Eden delight. Pollution, unhealthy food, selfishness, brokenness, greed, all, you know, lots of these things, all combine to act on to the unadorned clay pot. It actually becomes a cracked pot. I wonder if that's where it came from. Stress is one of the key factors in the initiation of a mental illness. Number six, things you need to take into consideration. Natural consequences. Look, the natural consequence of shifting our gaze in a broken world with a clay pot body will be stress, unwellness, and loss. Look, I remember praying for this elderly lady who was dying of lung cancer. She had smoked cigarettes all of her adult life. She asked God to heal her, but she also realized that the disease was because of the natural consequences of the choices that she had made. That it was her choices that got her into this place. Sadly, she died, but she was at peace knowing that a supernatural consequence of God's love would be newness and joy that she had never experienced before. Number seven, full of grace. God is full of grace to crack pots living in a broken world. Yay! Praise the Lord. Look, there is an ocean of grace to our teaspoon of sin. There is more knowledge to learn and wisdom to grow into. And there's an invite extended to dance with broken clay pot feet to the rhythm of a God who is deeply in love with you. So what do we do next with this question about sin and mental illness? Here's some suggestions. Number one, be wary of the immature. You know, some people are stuck in fundamental black and white thinking. They want the easy answers, formulas, quick fix prayers. They take a Bible verse of description and make it a prescription. Avoid these people. Get some new friends. Wish them well and move on into your maturing. I had to, and you will have to as well. Number two, shift the focus away from your sin. Look, whatever you focus on will grow. If you focus on sin, your failings, supposed judgment, hell, etc., these things will generate anxiety, tightness, and fear. Instead, focus on grace, full of grace. Number three of what you need to do next is to grow in grace. Show kindness to yourself and in particular your body. Show care and love for your unadorned pot of clay. Jesus the Christ in his pot of clay rested, exercised, ate and drank. Grace sings a tune of acceptance and invites you to dance. Number five of what you need to do next, and that's wise up. Learn about your cracked pot of clay. Move around the conscious, incompetence learning matrix, which I've got in the blog post. There's always more to learn and grow in. Number five is to share your journey. Hey, you're not the only one on this path of healing. Others will have insights you have learned. And perhaps you'd like to share your crackpot journey here on this blog. You know, write a guest post. You know, and you can send an email to me and ask me more about that. It's barry@turningthepage.info. You know, we all have sin in our lives, but there's so much more going on than simplistic and hurtful black and white thinking. Therefore, we need to learn to grow more and more in grace. Here's some quotes for you to think about. Number one is, God is at work in you and through you, even in your limitations. All that is required of you is cooperation with what is. Philina Hurtis. Number two, almost everyone in the Bible had a broken world experience. Virtually no one was exempt. In fact, it's tempting to reverse the myth that broken world experiences are anomalous and suggest that everyone then and now will have a broken world experience sooner or later. It may not always be the result of one's own performance. It can be just as likely that one has to live with the consequences of someone else's choices. Gordon MacDonald. And he writes, continues to say this, in pain, failure, and brokenness, God does his finest work in the lives of people. Larry Crabb, he says this, our gracious God chooses to remember our sins against us no more. That is, he will not bring up the matter again. David Benner, sin is anything that destroys this attentive wakefulness to God. And final, so Brennan Manning, the Christian world, which incessantly projects its own God fashioned after its own image, pays a heavy price in anxiety, a scrupulosity, that's a cool word, that sees sin where there is no sin, and a vague sense of existential guilt. Some questions. How would you respond to someone who says that mental illness is the result of sin? What personal views of what God is like need to change in order for healing to happen? And what in this particular podcast or blog post has grabbed your attention and why? Hey, I just want to thank you for listening. I hope that has helped you and that You might be able to share this with some other people who might need to hear this message of grace and hope. If you really like what we're doing here at Turning the Page, come on over to the blog. There's various ways in which you can support what we're doing, Patreon and other things. But especially, I'd just like you to come over, send me some comments. I really like to hear from my listeners and my readers, and share the blog posts. And until next week, may you have a very blessed week and continue turning your page. Thanks. Bye.